the Modus Operandi Podcast, featuring Alan Miller and Dr. David Overby. Produced at the IFPR Studios in Louisville, Kentucky. And now for the show!
It's Modus Operandi, episode 14. So, this is Derby weekend here in Louisville. This is Derby weekend here in Louisville, Kentucky, and Dave and I are celebrating by not going out in the rain.
Yes.
This is the first day of rain we've had in about
6 years.
Almost a fortnight.
And this has nothing to do with climate change.
We've been experiencing summer, basically, for the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's kind of freaky. I've got to tell you, it's kind of freaky.
You're right. I was thinking to myself today, this afternoon, it's like, what the fuck happened to spring? It was like a month ago, it was freezing.
It
wasn't freezing, but it was chilly. Like, it was cold.
Terry and I are plant people, you know, so we're pretty attuned to that. We're not very good gardeners yet.
You know,
mostly because we haven't had a consistent garden.
The Constitution doesn't say anything about the fact that you have a right to have plants.
What is that?
Sounds like somebody needs...
Very cool, Sammy. Listen. Oh, that was awesome.
Where the hell did that come from?
It was somewhere outside. We join you once again from my living room here in Louisville, Kentucky, up on the highlands. You can actually see the Ohio River from the end of the alley here by my house. Let's see. What's gone on in the last week that was kind of... Well, we had the Polish...
The entire Polish government...
Like a huge chunk of the Polish government
died in a plane crash.
Because somebody felt that for the pride of Poland or something that they had to land
the plane in bad fog.
In horrible, horrible fog. Like,
you know,
like,
if I had bad taste, I would make a joke about Polacks right now.
Yeah, that's, you know...
And how stupid they are. But I guess I won't do that. Because I would... Oh, wait, I guess... I just never know when to keep my mouth shut.
My granddad told me a couple of them from World War II. One of them was, do you know why the Polish Navy has glass-bottomed boats? The new Polish Navy.
Has glass-bottomed boats.
Yes, so they can see the old Polish Navy. Actually, that's not one. There was another one, but I'm not recalling it, and... We're celebrating Derby. Derby is a strange time here. I guess this is called Thunderfest, and this is it's not like Mardi Gras where it's all sort of vaguely based on religious traditions and stuff, and you start on such and such a date and you end on such and such a date, and it's like. This is Thunderfest weekend. So I guess, what is this? This is the middle of April that they do this?
Yes, it is.
Do you understand the actual protocol for Derby Fest?
Derby's always been the first Saturday of May. So the events preceding Derby sort of fall in line.
Start 2 weeks ahead of time.
Right. Thunder is the official kickoff of what's known as the Derby Festival.
And for our
next week there's like the Pegasus Parade and there's these other things, and I will say this is actually the one time of year where I do tend to find Louisville to be a favorable place to live because
weather-wise has been just impeccable.
It's not just the weather,
reason.
Though. I think but that it allows itself to be itself for this time of year. Like it's nice to walk up and down the sidewalks, and there are there are actually other people on the sidewalks.
That's the thing, you know. I think with most cities, if they just would party, that
right.
they would
It'd
find that they
better.
Really enjoyed it.
Right,
but.
It's kind of like
here. It's like, okay, we can do it. We can do it a little bit St. Patrick's Day, but just St. Patrick's Day, just
right? The
day.
And then Derby and is the big
we can
blowout.
Do Derby, we can do Thunder,
and it also does a pretty good job because it's a Catholic town of celebrating Christmas.
For our out of state, out of state listener, Thunder is Thunder over Louisville, which is one of the largest fireworks displays in the country, as well as a major military airplane show.
Basic, yeah.
And I'm
which I have nothing against. I mean, we have a First Amendment freedom of expression. I think it's fine if people want to go out there and do it.
Geek.
I would point out, and we talked about this earlier. I have to get this point in, otherwise I'm going to forget it. But
okay,
just talking about the expense of what it costs for these planes to fly around.
Yeah.
And again, it's not a criticism. Dollars. It's like people enjoy Thunder. I've gone there. I've enjoyed it. It's a social event. It is fun and interesting and educational to look at these planes, but they are really expensive. And so, as I have talked about earlier and also on the blog, it's an example of why it's so ridiculous.
By the way, listener,
he
has posted to the blog of times,
and I'm on a roll.
Hallelujah, you know, that's what I say.
That there are lots of things that the government does
communication
that are expensive. Right. So the argument over and over again about what I would call benevolent social programs and the money that they cost is always about how, well, the government shouldn't spend money and so forth. So if you like Thunder over Louisville, you have no basis for making an argument against something that requires the government to spend money.
You know, the vast majority of the people that were at the Tea Party thing.
It never has anything to do.
I guarantee you they're going
to
be down there like whooping it up when those F-14s come through.
Right. And, you know, it'll be very easy for them to say, yes, but, you know, this is what makes America great. This is necessary. But that's the thing.
That's
I mean,
knuckles.
Healthcare
Sorry.
Is also necessary. I mean, why do we have hospitals? Why do we have doctors?
Well, you know.
Because you have to have healthcare.
People get sick.
And if we didn't have medicine. Think about it, people. If we didn't have medicine, where would we be at this? Like,
Dave, all that medicine comes from private enterprise. It's all the
no, it doesn't.
Ingenious.
It comes from science. it also comes from just a fundamental somatic.
Scientists are wrong.
Function
most of the
of human
time.
Beings, which is that they
I mean,
want to
what
stay alive.
About this global warming thing? God. You know, now that those emails have been exposed, it's all bogus.
It's a good thing that I can get the facts.
No, that's... I can't do that.
I've got the facts.
Informed. I wish that...
No, I just can't do... I can't do that voice that you do. But I can do a deputy dog. Let's see. I don't. What were our agroids this week? See, we're celebrating Derby.
I think. I mean the
listener.
Civilian deaths in Afghanistan. I do not think that we talked about that since. I think this happened.
Well,
since our
you
last
know,
podcast.
And the problem with the civilian deaths in Afghanistan, and I don't think that we should ignore it, is that it is definitely a recurring agoroid. It is the continuous agoroid, and I think that any situation. Did you read the Ted Rawls editorial this last week? He was talking about how. When he decided to just sort of test the waters of getting in the military to support his, you know, to basically pay for college, that he went in, and of course, he's smart. I mean, he's really smart. He passed, he was like A+ on everything. He had a perfect score on his SATs for his maths, which, you know, fuck you for being that smart, dude. I'll shake his hand. Anyway, he, you know, they were just after him. They have now lowered the bar for being a member of the American military to the point where you can basically be a murdering, retarded rapist and join the army. And I'll say that again. A murdering, retarded rapist.
That's right, yes. His point was because they've made it so utterly miserable and totally demeaning. And there's the cultural factor. Like, it's one thing to be a military-industrial complex. It's another thing for the function of the military to be to completely demean human existence, both by the way that they treat their own soldiers and also by the incredibly cynical view of human life that they give. Well, like, you can kill people the way that you can just sort of throw toothpicks into a garbage can. And it never matters because it's the value system that they drive is that, you know, the whole or society is more important than the individual. And think about the hypocrisy of that. The majority of Americans...
The hypocrisy? Is
it? The hypocrisy.
And we're down with that.
The hypocrisy. Or the non hip
the way it is.
Ocracy of things, as you might say. But, you know, the military always perpetuates itself based on the needs of the country and society, right? Like, what was the motto of the Republicans in 2008? You know, country first. And yet they turn right away, they turn right around and they say that, you know, that they're always against what is driven by a social value system. You know, they're against universal health care. They're against education. You know, anything that you could argue that, yes, but I know this requires money, but it's important for a society. They're like, that's wrong. It's all the individual all of a sudden. It's like, it's that individual's responsibility to, you know, take care of themselves and that sort of complete nonsense.
I really hope that taxpayer-sponsored ambulance that just
that took
down the street
an hour to drive by loud.
I mean, going to get a teabagger who has had a heart attack.
Driving down,
take them to the
a public road, being, you know,
which is lit
navigating using signs that are paid for with electricity by taxes.
All the signs are paid for by us.
And everybody knows this. I mean, that's another thing that I do not think that people are as stupid as they try to be.
I don't agree with you. I think people are really fucking stupid.
Where do they think that road came from?
They don't. They don't think. And they don't. They don't think. That road's just there. I mean, I think, you know, if you read Flowers for Algernon, did you ever read that?
Flowers for whom?
Flowers for Algernon. Mm-mm. Famous, famous fucking story. You need to, I'll set you up with it. Basically, the premise is, there's a retarded guy, and by some sort of medical manipulation, he is made extremely smart. Mm-hmm. And he keeps a diary. He starts a diary when he's retarded, becomes extremely smart, and then returns to being retarded. And I think you should read it. It might give you a little bit more empathy for people that are just fucking stupid. Mm. You know, they don't have... And I think that you share this with the...
they have jobs and they have money.
I know that, but you share...
How do you explain that?
You share this with the... the people that believe that everyone can, you know, succeed at the exactly the same level. Extreme levels.
My position's been that people don't have to be assholes. It doesn't. I'm not concerned about what they know or what they don't, or what their IQ is, or what their attitude is.
Pretty much born into and groomed to assume the position that their father, mother, whatever,
of being
had
a shit
before
ass.
Them, of being exactly like them, of making money by doing something that pays really well, and they managed to get through college to support, but it's all aimed. You know, and I guess that may be one of I don't know if it's an error or what that I've made in my own life, is that I've never centered in on one thing. You know, I play music, I do this podcast with you, I read extensively.
E Plernasunim, I've always thought this. The only way that you can know about any one thing is to know a lot about a lot of things. Because if you don't know a lot about a lot of things, you don't know anything.
Jack of all trades.
You don't. No, it's not jack of all trades, because the jack just sort of jerks around. I'm talking about, like, you know, you just don't jack off on the guitar. Like, I mean, you've been in bands. You've actually performed.
Yes.
Right. It's the Renaissance man, right? It's that really vibrant, positive portrait of the human being that's been lost in 21st century America.
Yes,
where the human being is like,
I'm a similar person.
I'm a writer and I'm an actor and I play the keyboards and I've been to Europe and China and I know a lot about all kinds of things, right? And so the asshole that's going to sit there and is just like, well, I know about this, you know, and so I'm the one that gets to fuck on everybody. And the second you take them out of that, though, they're the typical clueless butt crumb.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there is no good explanation for it. And I think that the people that are like you and I,
like you and me,
that are like,
sorry,
me.
I didn't mean,
yes, you're right.
Sorry,
you're correct. The people that are like you and me, and I'll probably edit that. excuse me. People like us. We've kind of selected these broad fields for life, and I unfortunately have pegged my making money on my ability to see how things are built, how they work, and how to fix them, because people don't want to pay a whole lot of money to fix things most of the time. And just being a private contractor is just a shit fucking business. There's no two ways around it. I don't like to fuck over employees, and that's the only way you can make money doing it.
By having them shot?
No, you just, you know, underpay them. You don't give them overtime. You just fuck with them.
Subtly. And I
tell you what,
systematically,
I could probably be. I could probably be very, very successful contracting, if running a company with a bunch of people, if they all had paid for health care and taxes were more simple for people like me. They keep making the taxes more simple for the enormous mega corporations and the ultra wealthy. They just reduce their taxes and make sure that almost everything that they do is exempt from taxes.
Right, because it's good for society, so they don't need to do anything more for society.
But in my case, I have to keep track of every fucking nail that I buy. Every nail. You know, I've got to keep track of it. And, you know, and I still end up paying taxes. And the fucking CEO of WAMU, you know, who drove that fucking company into the goddamn ground, he walked with like $1.2 billion in bonuses, and
I know,
he
it's the
paid
ultimate,
no taxes.
You could never in your life ask for a better exposure of the completely corrupt way America really works than what has happened in the last couple of years. And granted, people do talk about it, but there really hasn't been much collective outrage or action at all. You have this group of people that has the expertise in terms of knowing how finance works, but because they were completely corrupt and selfish, ruined the economy. I mean, just completely fucked it up. I mean, there are countless examples of the people who are...
And walked,
you know, months
just incredibly well.
Not didn't just walk, but got rewarded for it.
Yeah.
This is totally the opposite of the way everybody knows America's supposed to work.
Not only the Wall Street
people... fucked up, you don't get rewarded for it.
There were members of the federal government that got bonuses and fucked up while they were doing their jobs. It's just like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be...
And you want to know what the problem is? And this gets back to my American communism idea.
The problem is that we need to kill more white people.
Is that government...
Killed in white people.
Government and business have lost any semblance of boundary. And the perfect example is the influence of Hank...
When was that true? This is like, you're talking about the 30s?
No, I'm talking about what happened in 2008.
Okay.
Hank Paulson from the Treasury was giving directives to Kenneth C. Lewis, right, who's the CEO of one of the major banks that failed. I wish I could remember. I think maybe it's Citibank, but it was one of those, like, five big ones, investment banks.
Citibank, The point is that
investment banks are branches of the government. They are parts of the U.S. Treasury. Give me a break. That just because you're going to call it a quote-unquote bank or conceptualize it as this business, that is not true. Kenneth C. Lewis was taking directives to Hank Paulson to withhold information to the shareholders of Lewis's bank about what everybody knew was getting ready to happen within the Department of the Treasury, right? Now, when something like that happens, you can forget about any functional distinction
contact information
and business
and other information.
That
please go
bail
to
out
psychicreform.com/
LCD, tell me what you think about Sarah Palin.
I like her family.
Really?
I think she's got her pulse on America.
What do you think about wolves?
Well, I know that she's in Alaska, and they have a lot of wolves up there.
Uh-huh. What do you think about shooting them from airplanes?
I think in America, if you want to fucking shoot something, we have that right. My gun is registered.
What do you think about...
So, I'm not one of these illegal aliens out there who's, like, looking to get firearms.
What do you think about priests having sex with children?
What?
moving on. What do you think about John McCain?
American hero. Loves his country, sacrificed for his country. It's a lot better than the socialist who wants to weaken us, and we're drifting.
What do you think about George W. Bush?
I think that W is a good man. I know that some things went wrong, but that was, I mean, what would you have done? We got attacked on 9/11. Would you have just sat there and been like, well, we're not going to do anything?
Is President Obama a socialist?
I don't like what he's doing to this country.
But do you think he's a socialist?
I think that he wants a government takeover. I think that he's taking government and saying that they're just going to, like, help poor people.
Is he Hitler?
And it's, who's Hitler? What the fuck does he have to do with all
da,
that?
Da, 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 da.
I don't know. I have to admit, that's a challenging role to play.
Yeah,
because
it's hard. Yeah.
I mean, I think here's the thing. This LCD character is a character of the media. And he just, so a character of the media can just sort of randomly appear and then go away, and it's irrelevant as to, you know, really any kind of in-depth understanding of that character. That's one of the things I think that the theater does that really you can't mimic in TV or film. Maybe with some of the really, really good movies, I think they pull that off. I think maybe that network film does a pretty good job of that we were watching the other night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like there are moments when I know exactly what he would say about something. But that's the thing. The kind of conversation that you and I were just having, that kind of person would never have in the first place. You know, there's sort of this, like, you know, right. Yeah, he's a socialist, but you would never piece together that kind of series of questions. Like,
well,
that kind of person would never even be in this. Because then it would be, you know, it'd be like, here's a question about Obama or something that he's doing. And now we're going to talk about the fact that they're not going to let people smoke cigarettes at a hospital in Pennsylvania. right? So it's just like, whoosh, whoosh, you know, and way over here. So you would never sustain a focus or a line of inquiry on something.
Well, see, and that's the thing is that it, probably with about half of the questions that you're asked, you should say, I'm American.
Hmm.
Because
I don't know, man. I mean, God damn it. These people are not robots. They're stupid.
They're stupid.
Yeah, there's something else wrong with them, though, man. Lots of stupid people.
I just don't think that you accept.
I'm not sure that
the lack of ability that these people have for processing complicated information. But
I'm not, God damn it, I've said this over and over again.
But that's what the Republicans have figured out.
My problem is that it's about the basics. It's not about things that are complicated, man. It's like, you know, being good to people, being halfway decent and civilized. This is a basic thing. You know, getting along with others, sharing, wanting for others what you want for yourself.
Yeah, people suck.
Right, and I think that the sucking is a is a cultural problem. It's a social problem. It doesn't.
Yeah, well, I'm not disagreeing that our society sucks. I'm not disagreeing with you. You know, we're not having the great communication debate tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because this is Derby Weekend, and we're celebrating Derby Weekend.
Yeah.
This is the kickoff. This is when thunder happens. And, yeah, we haven't had any of the mind-bogglingly loud overflights of military fighter jets. It was happening most of the day. Let's see. What the hell are we doing? We had another Ogroid other than the, civilian deaths, which is getting to be, you know, it's like the fact that Rush Limbaugh is still breathing. You know, civilians are being killed in Afghanistan and Iraq, and
simultaneously,
brutally,
go ahead, sorry,
by thugs. Okay.
Well, and just the way that this is treated or communicated, like it's always sort of buried. It never really gets attention. It's like, and this crap happened in Iraq, you know. I remember, you know, 04 was a carnage. 04 and 05 were just like a meat grinder.
Yeah, and the estimated everybody number of deaths in Iraq was just, you know, it's in the hundreds of thousands. You know, hundreds of thousands of people were killed accidentally.
What's the name of the news service that starts with R because I mispronounce it sometimes?
Reuters.
Reuters, right. The Reuters journalists.
Yeah, that were...
Okay. And that was out there on the internet. So according to your theory, with communication getting better because of the internet, everybody should have seen that by now. It's like, where's the reaction? But no, it's not happening because people just don't give a shit. And so when that human being doesn't give a shit, whether there's an internet there or not, no really meaningful communication is going to happen because you're dealing with a vapid waste.
Well, the people that are interested in that kind of things have seen it. It was on The Daily Show.
Right, Daily Show, and then Colbert probably said something about it, and then people Facebooked about it, and it's like this, you know, this is, and then nothing happens, and everybody just, people are so cynical. That's what's wrong with America, man. People are completely cynical. Like, human life is cheap, and when you value what's cheap, the problem is you don't value what's valuable. You don't value what is not replaceable and what should really be cherished and taken care of.
Is that the people
appreciated.
That, the people that, that maybe one out of 100 of the lunatic right wingers will suddenly see that video and say, fuck, man, that's just wrong. You know, there are some of those people out there, and they believe this because it's been fed to them. And they'll have a sea change, a complete flip.
Who are educated and probably smoked weed in college. and listen to Bob Dylan.
Wait, what does that have to do and with all of shooting?
This? I'm not even talking about the so-called right-wingers. I'm talking about this huge cross-section of this country that believe themselves to be sort of progressive or liberal that would watch that kind of thing happen, know that these civilian deaths were happening, and they are incapable of being outraged. They are just the most lifeless, bland, like a bowl of cereal that you got distracted and you come back and you look at it and it's like, you know, you don't even want to eat it. You just want to like throw it out. And everybody's got to hang on. It's like, our generation's so fucking conservative. Everybody's just like hanging on to like whatever it was that once they thought was sort of cool and just, you know, not interested in the future, not interested in the waste to energy incinerators that are in Denmark, Germany, and the Netherlands. You know, not interested about things like that. Like, you know, like, you know, how am I going to make money? And I've got to live the Ronald Reagan dream. And just, I mean, it is so pathetic that these things would happen. But God, but no one in this country.
The Ronald Reagan dream? That, like, I don't know. My molars hurt. It just hit the thought of the Ronald Reagan dream.
You know, right when I said that, I felt my hair get greasier.
Yeah, I know. It's a really kind of.
It's
terrifying.
Almost like I sort of like jacked off on my own hair or something.
Okay, well, you've depressed me and now disgusted me enough. Let's do sports. We did not go to a minor league baseball game tonight. Which you, didn't you say that there was a
there's a minor league pitcher that and because, you know, Alan is antisocial and didn't want to go to the game.
It was fucking raining.
I know. But you didn't want to go to the game prior.
Oh yeah, I didn't. But
I didn't either.
I actually thought about it. And I was like,
I didn't either. But this is probably the only time that he's going to be in Louisville. He's a Cuban defector. They paid him something like, you know, $97 million. He's apparently really talented. He's left-handed. He throws 100 miles an hour, which is really fast for a pitcher.
Awesome.
In case you're, you know, not assuming.
Yeah, anything. I tell you what, I would do good to break 40 myself.
Yeah, they had. I went on opening night, and they had one. They have one of these things where you can pitch, and they time you. And I remember doing one of these, you know, back in the day when I was younger, and I think I threw faster than this, but mine registered at like 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's
now this is after like four pints of beer, and I did walk all the way from, you know, the Highlands to the downtown area.
Well,
so I might have been, but still, I mean, I could be.
Those fast pitchers, a lot of that is the actual physical build of their bodies.
Sure.
You know, I've got narrow shoulders for my height.
I love sports, but I cannot
throw a ball really hard.
The refusal, and I mean, and this is relevant to the social issues and the teabaggers and all of that is,
and I'm hated by women and children.
A lot of what happens in human life is really completely beyond any individual human's control. Like, you know, athletics is, contrary to myth, it's not about how hard they work.
It is
genetics, and it is just simply natural ability. Any professional athlete, anybody who is incredibly exceptional at an athletic
sport. Yeah.
Anybody who is doing really, really good at sports is really that one in a million. When you get to the level of being able to play at the professional level, you're talking about people who are just extremely, incredibly good. I mean, do people wake up in the morning? I remember, you know, when I was a freshman in high school and I was in the eighth grade, I would come home from school and shoot baskets for like 7-8 hours until it got dark. I was going to be the shooting guard for the Boston Celtics.
I've got an interruption for this, and just a slight aside.
That's probably
the same. Apparently, you know, Nike has these. We're both runners. Dave and I both run, not together. We just both of us go out and run.
We do. And, believe it or not, I do something good.
And I think we've spoken about this, the barefoot running shoes. And Nike has a series of these barefoot-style running shoes. And they've got really thin soles, and they're basically meant so that you will run on your toes, which is the natural way that you run. And as a child, I can remember myself sprinting across gravel, barefooted. And, of course, a lot of that was because I was barefooted all the time. Except for when I was in school, basically, and it was when there was snow on the ground. And you can actually tell it from looking at my feet. My toes are kind of evenly spaced and spread out a little bit at the end of my foot. But anyway, they've got these shoes that they're trying to promote. So they have, apparently, I haven't seen the commercial, but apparently in the commercials, they have people from all over the world saying, just do it, in their language. Mm-hmm. And they have just do it, you know, they say it. It says, just do it. Well, there's a Nigerian runner that, I think Nigeria, what's the country that has all the super killer long distance runners? Kenya?
Kenya.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's a Kenyan man. And they say, you know, the quotes, say, you know, the subtitles say, just do it, in quotes. And what he's saying is, I don't want these. Give me big shoes. I just think that's great.
me want what shoes?
I don't want these, which are the running shoes. Give me big shoes.
Give me big shoes.
Give me big shoes, which are like the shoes you've got on.
Because,
you know, those Nike shoes are just, they're like slippers, basically. They're slippers with these tough soles.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That is the quintessentially dysfunctional American obsession with continuing to produce things for which there is no need, like the iPod. So Nike's going to come up with like another kind of shoe. How many different kinds of shoes do people need? Do Americans lack shoes?
Yes.
That's what people get up in the morning and they're just like, wait, I don't have enough shoes.
Yes, actually, that's...
Or I need more shoes.
Yes, yes. That actually, what? I live with that.
You do.
Oh, yeah. Have you not seen my girlfriend's collection of shoes? It's well, I guess you haven't.
I want to make a clarification. I am not criticizing anybody if they like shoes. What I am criticizing is a country that is obsessed with always negating or preventing doing something that is obviously good and would be helpful to everybody, and then turning around and being really good at producing more of the same things that we don't need. We don't need more Nike shit. We don't need another Steve Jobs jack off digital toy.
Still listening to the most,
that's not what we need.
Jobs,
whatever.
Job.
Who gives a shit?
You know, this whole thing with the church, the Catholic church, that is.
You mean like butt fucking deaf boys?
Yeah, and just the rampant nature of it. And you know, it's what I think I might have put this on the blog, but it's like, who exactly is surprised by this?
I know that's it's right.
I lived in New Orleans for most of my adult life. I think I probably mentioned that before, but I personally knew several people who had been butt fucked by fucking priests.
Did these people, because they walk around in
Attack of the Cat?
Right.
What are you doing?
They walk around in these costumes and they have this choice property and these opulent buildings. And so that means that they're just sort of like separate from everything else. Man, what a fucking crock of shit.
Yeah, I know. It's just...
And they turn around and tell everybody else what's... Jesus Christ, what's going on?
She's chasing the dog. The cat is chasing the dog.
And then they turn around...
Yes, you heard it.
And then they turn around... Like, excuse me, you know, once you've, like, wiped your dick off on this, like, deaf boy's ear, would you then please tell me what's right and wrong and how to live my life?
Yeah, it's endemic. And that's, I think that's the thing that the Vatican tried to suppress, was that it was across the board. It's everywhere. Everywhere the fucking Catholic Church is, these supposedly celibate, and, you know, and I think that's the key to it, is the celibacy.
Well, sure,
thing.
Man. It's just,
you know,
blatant.
These men,
like, give me
and they're God. All men, by the way, and,
holy,
you know,
fucking shit, man. You talk about just some, like, nightmare.
But it's the fallacy of just religion in general. You know, you know, God damn it. Believe in fucking fairies and you know, gnomes and shit. It's
hell, just believe in the beauty of the stars at night and the oceans and the mountains and the rivers and, you know, the light in people's eyes. No, can't help you. Sorry. Gotta hate your fucking guts.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're going to hell because you haven't been born again in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Know, what matters is God and society.
Sorry, listener.
The country and, you know, so you don't matter and you're a drain and you're wrong. We've got to control you.
By the way, this is our Fortnite episode. This is episode 14. If you were to listen to one of our shows per night, it would take you two weeks,
right?
And you would be a better person as a result of it, and don't let anybody tell you different.
They could go on a 2-week vacation, and it could all be centered around our podcast.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. And
I
would suggest it for young couples, especially.
I do think that eventually that people will start to sort of listen to.
No, people hate us. We're both kind of ugly and. And we don't dress very well.
No,
you know,
I guess we don't.
Our fashion sense is pretty sad. You know,
I've always wondered. You know what
taste
I wore
in
yesterday?
Music? Oh, miserable!
I wore these shorts and I wore this like fuchsia.
Well, you know, if you
$300 dress shirt that I got in New York City.
If you clean the poop off of your shorts, it would help. Was it $300 fuchsia shirt?
Yeah.
You have a $300 fuchsia shirt? Really? Wow.
I got it in New York. I would
love to have a $300
I got it at Urban Outfitters.
$300?
Mm-hmm.
God damn, man. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, you know, well, when you're a terrible person, you do things like that.
The ultra megas don't even blink at that kind of. Yeah, are
it's
you,
not as much money as it costs, Alan, to
ultra
play
mega?
A round of golf. Where you want to know what they do on the last hole on this course?
They get blowjobs from
they
whores.
They get in a helicopter, and they fly up a very steep mountain, and the helicopter has to sort of make what appears not to be like the easiest or smoothest landing. Like, it kind of has to like slowly rotate
where is
to get
this?
In.
Where?
It's somewhere in Peru. And the golfers get out of the helicopter, and the last hole, they tee off from the top of this mountain, and the hole's like way down. It is not as... Think about how expensive that is. This is what, you know, I do not understand about Americans. It has a lot to do with sports, which we haven't gotten to yet, right? But the amount of money that goes into all of these things, it's like, they are incredibly expensive.
It's in Peru.
War is incredibly expensive. No, I'm not talking about Peru, and I'm not talking about golf.
Oh, man.
I'm talking about simply a helicopter flying.
That helicopter
like,
flying
helicopter.
In Peru
there
is,
goes
the, is,
and here's this.
Is nothing. No, see, that's the thing, is that all these fucking rich people fucking around with their yachts and their private jets, and all the just, you know, cigarette boats and the other stupid shit that they buy, is that it's a fraction, a small fraction of what the United States spends on military stuff. I mean, we're talking like, you know, a 128th, you know, a 360th.
We need to put a pie chart out for the blog that shows, like, how much money's been spent on the military in the last 5 years. Or since like 2000, how much money has been spent? Nunes, tell the Congress, set military budget as high as I wanted. Woo! You know who that was? That was W.
Put it all the way up.
September 2001.
Yeah, well, you know,
you talk about,
like, the way he did it was by not having his wars in the budget. They were all done on these emergency. I can't even remember what the term was for it now, because I hate that motherfucker and I forgot everything that he's ever done. God damn him. God damn him. You know, I hate George W. Bush. That motherfucker, I guarantee you, when he was a kid, not only did he have the full set of spurs, the chaps, the guns, the belt, the vest, the pants, the shirt, the hat, the 10-gallon hat, and he had the pony and the saddle and the bridle and everything. He was the Lone Ranger because he told his mama he wanted to be. That's the kind of fucking motherfucker that George W. Bush is. He's a spoiled little piece of shit.
Right. I mean, it's the epitome of...
We can't go back in time and kill him.
Someone. It's the epitome of someone who is worthless. If you know anything about Bush, he was on cocaine and a big boozer a total fuck-up, and he ran businesses into the ground, but the Saudis kept giving basically Bush's daddy more money. But I mean, everything that he did, and I mean, I know that he was a front man in a lot of ways,
but
I know that he was a front man in a lot of ways. But the point is that for whatever piece of shit that he was basically able to do everything that he wanted. Whether that's totally attributable to hit to
you his are listening political to the modus operandi
sensibility.
Wait, you were saying, or if Hitler. Was, he's, you know, Hitler.
Just because he was Hitler. a part of this really fine
tuned
social
stop.
And they're gonna make themselves look good because they're so tough. So, and that is the military-industrial complex, an entire society that is just internalized.
It makes them appear to be callous, which is what they are.
Well, sure, but so is the military-industrial complex, because any country that exists pretty much just to fight wars has to be callous toward human life. You couldn't keep doing it if one single life, whether it was somebody who got killed or their arm got blown off or they were going to lose somebody who they really cared about. I mean, this country is just completely cynical and shallow. And you want to know what I think part of it is? Because we love being rich, we love everything being cheap.
No, actually, I don't, man. I'm just like...
Because everything is about being rich. Everything is about being cheap. And when you value what is cheap, you cease to value what is valuable. And so you don't value things that are not cheap, right? Like your friends and your family and the land and...
Electricity.
Human experience, right? It's just, you know, everything is just something that at any moment can be devoured and destroyed. And
gasoline. Oil.
And as we know, gasoline and oil...
Drilling.
...are now and always will be cheap.
Drill now, baby.
They'll be cheap.
Drill here now.
Obama doing his Sarah Palin imitation in order to have a chance to stay in the election of 2012, which I think is going to be a rout. I think Palin's going to just run away with it, but he's already, it's not a good sign when you start to imitate your opponent. And as soon as the Republicans allowed Obama to pass his basically substanceless health care quote unquote reform bill, he's now imitating Palin. Drill, baby, drill. I saw this in the airport when I saw about the suicide hazing incident in Massachusetts.
There's been a lot of cartoons of it.
And what happened was, is they said, okay, you can have this, and from now on, you're going to do our gig. And what has he done since the healthcare? Has he, like, been empowered by it? No. He almost acts ashamed like it's happened. Very first thing he did after that, he made a surprise visit to Afghanistan wearing a military jacket. He totally imitated W. Right. And then right after that, it's drill, baby, drill. So he's bookending himself with the Republican machine.
You know, McConnell did a lot of preaching about how the vast majority of Americans don't support or didn't support the health bill, which was extremely dishonest, to say the least.
No.
It turns out really? That it was like 37% or something like that, maybe 40, was opposed to the bill because it went too far. And then there was like this 27% or so.
It was going to change the healthcare system.
That were for the
bill. It's going too far. I don't want that person to get that operation. That means I have to work harder. If they're going to die, I don't care. It's their fault.
So another like 20...
In the name of Christ, amen.
Another 20% were opposed to the bill. No, actually, I think it was like a small percentage that were just straight up for it.
Anybody be against...
So
changing healthcare.
Anyway, a third were against it because it went too far. A third were against it because it didn't go far enough.
I want more dead bodies. More dead bodies. So, more.
McConnell, who that was a pretty good imitation of him actually, except less emotion. God.
The man's
a fucking corpse, man.
Can you imagine what he's like off camera, though? I mean, that's the thing about politics.
You know, he sits in the corner really and drills, and he gets instructions from Rush Limbaugh through his
ear.
No,
he does that for the camera, probably, yeah. But, like, can you imagine what it's like? You know, he's just in a room, and it's private, and I bet that all those people just, like, breathe fire into people's faces and just, like, hate their fucking guts, man.
Who was it recently that they... was accused of being really abusive of all of his staff.
It was Angelina Jolie.
Dun, 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 dun. She's got boobs.
And she's good looking. Yeah. I'd like to eat blueberries out of her pussy.
Oh, no. Going back to episode number 9.
If that won't get you to listen, then nothing will.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, let's just go.
Liberal podcast maniac talks about eating blueberries out of Angelina Jolie's pussy.
We need to do a few more fart jokes, maybe. Damn it!
Well, we are trying to go beyond the one listener we currently have, so maybe we should. Maybe dumb it down a little bit and see if that helps makes us a little more popular.
Well, I guess we should do more sports. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. All right, so... We're not doing sports. So going back to oil drilling, this is the argument from the right wing when you say, you know, we should conserve energy, which is really, that's the number one thing we can do to reduce the amount of energy we use, is to just conserve energy. And it's not that hard. But the immediate reaction is, well, that's not going to fix it.
But it's like you have, let's say you have 10. 10 is the level of our use now. If you subtract 4 from 10, it's fucking less. And less is better. We almost got that through people's head under Carter. And unfortunately, we were up against an intractable, nasty Republican opposition. And I'm going to go on the record saying that I personally believe that George H.W. Bush, who was head of the CIA at that time, was involved in the failure of the rescue of the Iranian hostages, which was the number one thing that led to the downfall of Carter. I don't think it was the economy or anything else as much as that failure. And then we got fucking Reagan. But
right, it's a sadistic Republican machine that is socially constructed and empowered by a culture that has always loved war and money and been very arrogant. And that Republican Party took that already existing vision that cross-section of relevant social groups had and encapsulated it in an ideology, in something that had presence through media.
Okay. I'll buy it. So anyway, we have to drill for more oil, and because we need energy. Why do we need energy? It's because we're extremely wasteful in the way that we move people around. That's one. That's a really major one. We use huge amounts of energy that we could not use if we were being more careful. On a personal basis, in our house, we use endless amounts of electricity. I am guilty of leaving my computer on a lot. And it's a major appliance. You know, that thing pulls a lot of electricity. And when they stay on all the time, they're pulling a lot of electricity. Dave, you're very guilty of this, so you hardly ever turn off your computer.
I'm a bad person, by the way, for those of you.
That's true, except you have almost nothing else that you use except for lights. So you're probably, you get a pass on that just because of your own sort of pathetic, sad...
ineptitude.
Empty life.
Environmentally conscious existence. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, just go with that. Yeah, go with the, I'm small carbon footprint, say that. But you'd have to stop drinking imported beers. Where was I going with that? Power usage. Okay, wait. So we go from that to the electricity. Ours doesn't come from oil. Electricity does. Much more comes from natural gas, which is sort of a byproduct of drilling for oil. But we here in Kentucky, and this is a huge chunk of the United States, get our electricity from coal. And coal comes at an enormous cost. And the
people in West Virginia know that acutely well.
They know that very well, in a very personal way. But recently the EPA ruled, or was it the Supreme Court? There was a major ruling, and this changes everything, that the current method of mountaintop removal mining, which is in many ways displaced shaft mining, which is what the tragedy in West Virginia was brought about by just eliminating the mountain that sits on top of the coal. And they've decided that there are over 12, that they found that there was 12,000 miles of waterways that had been destroyed by mountaintop removal, had been poisoned, made useless, killed wildlife, killed the local environment, killed the local people. You know, when you have a 500-ton boulder fall onto your trailer because, you know, somebody accidentally pushed it over the edge onto you, the place that, you know, in the holler your family's been in for five generations,
has been filled up with garbage from the neighbor. And they decided it was wrong. Glory, hallelujah. It's kind of an anti-Oberoid. But the thing is that we still, the way that we're going, we're just going to need more and more and more. You know, things like, you know, your VCR, your television, your stereo, etc. It sits there and it's got the little red light on it that says standby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's using electricity all the time that it's sitting there.
Did you hear that, listeners? It's that one button, and if it weren't for that, sustainable life would be able to occur endlessly. So when the polar ice caps melt, please know that I'm the one that's to blame, and go easy on each other.
Instead of making our multiple devices so that they will turn off completely for years now, years, even though we know that this is not a smart thing to do, we've been making all of our plug-in appliances so that they're sapping just a little bit of energy to keep the memory chip going. And I don't know about you, but I've unplugged something before and then moved it and plugged it in another place and had to reset everything that was in it. Now, you probably haven't done this because you never would have set the thing in the first place. But for many of us, that would have been prevented by having an absolute off, where you turn it off and there's a little battery that's backing up the memory. But no, everything sits here and pulls a little bit of power out of the wall. We don't have our on-off switches at the little sort of, you know, knobby 9-volt adapter thing that we've plugged into the wall to power our little thing. Instead, that off-on button is up at the thing. Well, the little 9-volt transformer continues to sit there and convert a little bit of voltage into a little bit of wattage. And it just goes and goes and goes. So we have a lack of regulation, and where might that have come from? Our dark overlords. They don't want regulation because
they don't want regulation of themselves.
They need.
It's a very important
to achieve their overthrow of
the world. They want to regulate everyone and everything.
They
else,
need,
but they don't want
billions
to be regulated.
Of dirty, desperate slaves. And that's what they're leading us to, because we're overpopulating the world. Soon, you know, we're going to be 9 billion people on this planet, and they need dirty, hungry, thirsty, desperate people to carry out their plans to bring Cthulhu to Earth to take all of our souls.
Wow. Well, it's pretty much fine with me if that happens. Because I think he would starve to death because there are no fucking souls here.
And Cthulhu leads us to the iPad, which I'm saying
oh
the iPad is
God,
yet
man.
Another little monster.
Jesus.
That will be sucking at our power grid and our world.
Well, but it's also just like yet another thing that Americans are into. And it's like, it's not needed.
Yeah,
you need better schools. You need food. You need jobs. And there's just millions and millions and millions of Americans out there. It's like, who gives a shit? It's like, you know, I just want another digital gadget.
Uh-huh.
And that's all these things are.
Just,
I don't even think they have anything to do with communication. I think that they are just like puerile gadgets.
It's the techie Hummer. You know, it's this other thing which is going to take up. And I think this is what, you know, Apple users are always like, oh, it's so great. We're not going to need, you know, it's good for the world. Apple's such a wonderful, clean company.
It would be great if people who needed life-saving operations would get them instead of not get them. It would be great if people did not have to grow up in places where there were power plants nearby, you know, and play in water that had more, like, acid in it than it did H2O.
Dude,
right?
What's wrong with acid?
Well, I'm talking about like corrosive
Man.
Acid. I right. I
That's
know.
The
I'm
best
not, we're
kind
not
about,
I'm not talking about that, 1968. I'm talking about
20FC.
Right, right.
Well, you know, actually,
you know, birth defects.
I will argue that things actually are better now than they were in 1972. You know, we haven't had any rivers catch on fire in a long time, but we still have these legacy of just horror in this country. But going back to the iPad, the manufacture of these things is anything but clean. This is going on in China and Taiwan, et cetera, and it's, you know, just like in the west end of Louisville, which we'll get to, will be our last Ogroid. They are living in these horribly polluted environments, and they're dying early, and they're dying of horrible cancers, and they're doing things that, you know, children are cleaning all of this technological shit that we, you know, as soon as you get your iPad, you throw out your iBook, and when you throw out your iBook, you replace your iMac, and, you know, whatever the fuck it is the latest piece of technology you've got, instead of wringing every last instant out of it, it's like, okay, this new one in, well, we got to throw this other one out. Well, what do you think happens to that thing? It either goes into a landfill and leaks poison into its surrounding garbage for the next 600 years, or they stick it on a boat and it goes back to China. And some child sits and dips all that shit in fucking solvent and uses a torch. A child uses a torch to melt the gold out of things, meanwhile burning the plastics and the other poisonous things that are on there. No protection, not even very much in the way of clothing. Working in just horrible conditions, 12 to 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're responsible for that. You go buy an iPad and you get rid of your other thing, well, you're causing somebody to die somewhere. You're causing someone to have to live a miserable life making shit fucking money, doing brutal goddamn work, because you need the newest, most stylish thing. Go out and just buy a fucking Hummer. Get it over with. Drive around in your Hummer with your iPad on your lap. You know, text your friends with your iPhone. You know, you probably have 4 or 5 cameras that you've gone through before, you know, but you've still got your iPhone. It's mind-boggling. It's like there's so many levels of shit that people have because it's cool. If you have the original iPhone, or actually the first 2 generations of iPhone now, you are unable to use the 4th generation iPhone technology that's just come out, which apparently has massive improvements, whatever that means. Apple bothers me. There's something about what they're trying to do with their...
They have the number one guard coming in next year to replace the number one guard who's leaving.
Wait, okay, so now the number one guard who's leading, what's his name?
The one who's leaving or coming?
Leaving.
John Wall.
Wall. Mm-hmm. Who is coming?
Brandon Knight.
Okay, so... Alright, I think with this one position, we have the whole paradox. And I don't even know if it's a paradox. It's almost as if the system has been set up or manipulated to where this is the way you have to do it. You've got UK, this powerhouse of basketball. They bring in this group of young superstars and they run with them. Now, I remember back, and listener, you may have assumed that I had no interest in basketball ever, but actually up until my experience with the Green Shave, I was actually a college basketball fan, because NBA to me is just boring. I mean, it's just big guys slamming the ball. UK, back when, was it Kyle Macy? Is that number 4?
Number 4, very good.
this was a senior star.
The 1978 yep. national champion yep. Kentucky team.
That kind of team. And I think that was really a lot more of what college sports really was. Was before it became commercially big.
But see, that's the thing. It was already commercially big in 1978. What's happened in the early 21st century is that the world of the 70s, which is when we grew up, has become mediated, amplified, and thus intensely infused with money. And so what Kentucky is now, and I don't blame the coach, I don't blame the players, because it's not anything that in the end is really that serious. But it is a mockery of the university as an educational institution. And it is obvious that the basketball program and the coach and the players, because he's part of a much bigger problem.
And he is. He is a cog in the wheel, and he knows he's a cog.
Right, but the problem, what's the point of blaming him when the real problem is a social and systemic problem?
He is a multi-gazillionaire.
And if he was not there,
gaming
somebody else would be. And
someone else would be gaming the system.
Right.
They're all equally repulsive. Rich people suck.
Well, I think in the post,
I think in the
post philanthropic world, you're right.
Because
obviously philanthropy is becoming obsolete, because otherwise
the fact that
the money strain on people would be a sports coach of any kind
can make more money than a professor.
No, you don't understand.
To me, it's just 31... bullshit. It's bullshit. This is a physical education
person. It's sickening. It's fucking sickening. It's a fucking joke.
Thousands of times.
And everybody knows
the amount that a professor makes.
How does it... But that's the thing. I am a basketball fan and grew up as a UK fan, and I just don't know how this continues to be interesting to people. Like, how completely fraudulent does it have to be? Like, at what point can it be fake enough to finally diminish in value?
Okay, so now, this is one of those sort of deep cultural things, but Dave?
Yes?
At what point will you stop watching or paying attention to UK basketball?
My attention to it has decreased over
At what point will you stop?
Well, probably, I guess now that you ask the question, I'll just not watch it at all next year. That'll be my social experiment. I won't watch a single game.
No basketball.
No. No basketball.
No. Wow. Really?
I'm gonna spend more time
on this podcast?
I am.
This is podcast number 14.
Number 14.
Of saying, the Modus Operandi podcast.
Yeah. It'll make it actually enjoyable for me to do something that I know in some ways I already want to do, which is like not to watch it. So if I tell that to you and it's sort of a challenge, I won't watch college basketball.
Because if you watch college,
if I watch one game, I'll eventually.
You'll have to keep track of what Kentucky's doing.
It's almost like a gateway drug.
College basketball. So absolutely no college basketball for 1 year.
No college basketball for 1 year. I'm going to do a social experiment. I'll even write about it.
Wow, man,
don't you think this is a good idea? I'm going to write like from a general perspective.
Yes.
I'm going to call it. I've already got a title. It'll be called the Without Basketball Diaries.
Yeah.
Like Jim Carroll wrote the Basketball Diaries. I'm gonna be a writer and see for 1 year I'm not going to watch any basketball game. Do you think that's good?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's do it.
And I can even start writing it now. I can just be like, you know, because this is the recruiting season.
It's over. Yeah.
I can begin with a reflection on the past.
You can begin stopping paying attention. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for you. Because you... Oh, dude.
It'll depend on how much...
Since you were young, you paid really close attention.
But here's the thing. Yes, but when I left Kentucky, when I went off to grad school, and when I left Kentucky, I did really begin to move away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm gonna write a book.
Our listener has
like,
heard
should do a podcast. Well, if I'm still here, but because I'm trying to get to Colorado.
The only problem is you'll be on the other end of the computer. Oh, I've got to update. No, I hate this. I hate it. I have to update. Ah, I have to maintain my computer. I hate you. Ah, universe technology. No, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I don't remember where we were going with that.
I'm not sure.
We're celebrating Derby. Derby weekend. Well, this is Thunder weekend. Woohoo! Thunder weekend. They're in here with the military fighter jets. Them big old planes. They fly them through the military planes. They fly them down right down the Ohio River. And they set off explosives and fireworks and stuff. And I love America. Dave brought... some beer that is it's pirate beer, basically buccaneer beer, and I realized as I finished the first glass I had of it that it was really high alcohol. So my apologies for Dave, because he's drunk more than I have and he's just fucked up. Worthless bastard.
Yeah.
God. You know, if you were a better person, you wouldn't suck.
Well, you're not the first person to point that out.
So, all right. So, are there any others? There's no other sports things.
Baseball season started, but I mean, it only lasts for another 10,000 games, and. Oh, that's not true.
Who's the best team?
There are only 156 more baseball games and only 7 more months of the regular season. And that's sort of the problem with talking about baseball at this point is it's so early. The Yankees always win. They won last year. And the Yankees are loaded with money. Imagine that. So... in some ways, it's not really even all that competitive. The Minnesota Twins have a new outdoor ballpark, and because God is a Republican, the weather has been great, even though they're playing outdoors for the first time in 40 years in Minneapolis. And at this time of year, you know, you could have basically a freaking blizzard there. So
thank God for global warming.
And the Cardinals
that doesn't exist, but it does.
In the National League Central have Albert Pujols, Chris Carpenter, and Adam Wainwright. So despite the fact that Tony La Russa is their manager, they probably by default will make the playoffs. And La Russa did win a World Series with the Cardinals, so I'll give him credit for that. Generally, though, the Cardinals seem to be a team that sort of putzes out in the playoffs. But I would expect them to get there because, I mean, it's sports, people. They have better players than most other teams.
Okay.
Question with Chris Carpenter is his health. He does tend to get injured. Anyway, next question, please.
What's going on with football?
With football. Well,
NFL. Let's just go with the NFL.
The NFL. The Pittsburgh Pirates quarterback was investigated for, you know, sexual harassment or something like that concerning with an incident with a young woman at a nightclub in Georgia. Charges were not brought against him, right? So, like,
no charges.
But then when the details of the investigation became public, then there was some controversy because it was sort of public record.
Public record.
And so, he may get suspended for a couple of games.
I look at it as obvious that
he had bodyguards, and the allegations were that, you know, people were getting really drunk and so forth. But the,
what?
I look at it as, you know, this is the kind of thing when you glorify sports to the level that you do is going to happen. You just create this.
You're talking to me, and this demographic of people who like are
you do. You're the one. You're the glorifier, Dave Overby. The glorifier.
No, it's
the sports glorifier.
America is the glorifier. I mean, it's probably not too far before 10 o'clock at this point.
Yeah, I think it's time we started just cooking.
That we confront the fact that nothing good is ever going to happen again.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
You have been listening to the Modus Operandi Podcast. Featuring Alan Miller and Dr. David Overby. Produced at the IFPR Studios in Louisville, Kentucky. You can reach us at mopod@psychicreform.com. Or by visiting our webpage at psychicreform.com/mopod. The program has been produced and edited by Alan Miller. Music by the Institute for Psychic Reform. Intro music is a Hydropod remix. We are currently self-supported, so please send us money, and your name could be right here. Thanks for listening, and please, come again.